Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. It's Friday, October 5th, 2018. Our weekly guest on the show is Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer, who joins me today from the magazine's offices in New York City. Welcome back, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So, Andrew, we are catching you on a break today between packing for Frankfurt Book Fair, which opens next week and marks the 70th anniversary of the world's largest publishing trade show. And last time on the program, we discussed recent so-called copyright reform efforts in Europe. Now it seems like copyright reform may be gaining some steam here in the U.S. as well. We will devote our program today to catching up with you on these developments. So tell us, what's going on up on Capitol Hill?
So yeah, that's right. Last Wednesday, the Senate Rules and Administration Committee heard testimony on a bill that would make the Register of Copyrights a presidential appointee. And I finally got the chance this week to catch up and watch the replay of that hearing. And, you know, indeed, it seems like after more than 15 months of no action on this bill, that bill is now finally getting some attention. Now, our listeners will recall that bill is called H.R. 1695, the Register of Copyrights Selection and Accountability Act. And a little legislative history, people may have forgotten it. It's been a while. This bill was introduced on March 23rd of last year, and it was fast-tracked through committee. And it ended up passing the full House in mid-April by a pretty wide margin, 378 to 48, I think was the final tally. And it was then introduced in the Senate, I believe on May 1st, pretty much straight away after it got out of the House, where it was met with absolutely no enthusiasm, at least not by the committee that wanted it, which was Judiciary. And then this week, suddenly, Senate Bill 1010, which is the Senate companion to the Register of Copyright Selection and Accountability Act, started moving again.
Okay, so our listeners may also recall that you personally are not a fan of this bill, whether it's the HR or the S version, and we will get to that in just a moment. But first, how did the hearing in the Senate go? Why do you think we're seeing the bill taken up now?
So the hearing went just as you might expect. There were two expert witnesses. There was the Copyright Alliance's Keith Kupferschmid and the Library Copyright Alliance's Jonathan Band. But first, I should point out an important discrepancy. I just sort of hinted at it, and I'll make it a little more clear here. The bill came out of the House through the Judiciary Committee, and that happened after some sort of secret horse trading by Judiciary Chairman in the House, Representative Bob Goodlatte, who is the architect of the bill and who's actually retiring this year from his seat in Virginia. But the Senate was having none of that, which is why the bill in the Senate was heard in committee in the Rules and Administration Committee, which oversees the structure of the Library of Congress, among other things. Because this bill, to be clear, is really not a copyright bill. It's more of a tweak to the org chart of the Library of Congress.
Okay, so why tweak the org chart? What did the witnesses have to say?
Right. So the purpose of this bill, it seems to me from listening to the hearing, is largely symbolic, that having the president appoint the Register of Copyright sort of elevates the position and recognizes the role that copyright plays in our economy. You know, that's basically the argument for the bill. Now, as our listeners may recall, former Register of Copyrights Maria Pallante believes strongly that the Copyright Office belonged outside of the Library of Congress. And that's likely one reason she's not in that job anymore right now, and is now, in fact, leading the Association of American Publishers at the moment. In his testimony, Keith Kupferschmid argued that the Librarian of Congress, which currently appoints the Register, is in conflict with copyright's mission, at least as far as the copyright industry see the role of copyright. In his testimony, however, Jonathan Bam pointed out that the office was right where it belongs and right where Congress and the framers wanted it. Now, he questioned why Congress would give up the authority to choose its own librarian to the executive. And he makes a good point there. You know, there's really nothing to be gained, too, he pointed out, by politicizing the office, having a presidential, you know, make a political appointee here. And I have to say that I agree with. I don't see the value in politicizing the position.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing your analysis of this situation with this new bill, I should say old bill in the Senate. But first, let's talk about the senators. How did you read their performance?
So Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar really seemed like she didn't want to be there. She gave a good statement. She asked a couple of questions, but she left early. Missouri Senator Roy Blunt, who was the committee chair, was pretty affable and amenable to hearing both sides of the argument, and he really moved the hearing along well. And neither Klobuchar nor Blunt seemed at all fazed by the idea of letting the president pick the Register. And both noted that, you know, maybe this does recognize the value of copyright. But this is where it got interesting. Maine Senator Angus King, Wayne, who asked about the constitutionality of the proposal and, you know, whether or not it was constitutional and whether, even if it was constitutional, it would lead to any, and I'll quote his words here, administrative awkwardness. And the reason he asked, because the bill, when it passed the House, was amended in order to pass so that it would function this way, rather than just let the president appoint anyone. Because we all know Donald Trump would appoint Ivanka or Tiger Woods to be the next register. Instead, a panel of experts, including the Librarian of Congress, would come up with names. The three final names would then be sent on to the president, who would, you know, in I'll take door number three style fashion, I guess, pick from those three names. But that, Senator King said, raised separation of power issues for him.
All right, so separation of power, because Congress would be limiting the choice of the president. Now, when Senator King raised that question, did he get an answer?
He actually did not, you know, at least not at the hearing. There was a supplemental filing made by the Library Copyright Alliance to his question, but he didn't get an answer at the hearing, at least not a correct answer, I should point out. At one point, Keith Kupferschmidt raised an example for the senator, and I believe he brought up what was the way the office of the controller is staffed, the way the controller is appointed. And in that case, Congress gives the president a list to choose from. But Jonathan Band quickly pointed out that, in fact, no, that's not an analog for this bill, because while Congress does supply a list of candidates for controller, the president can still pick whomever he or she chooses. Unlike this bill, the Register of Copyrights Act, which binds the president to picking from the list of candidates supplied by Congress. And, you know, and that was actually one of two obvious errors that I heard made in this hearing. The other was that Kupferschmidt suggested that the president might fire or threaten to fire the Librarian of Congress if the librarian didn't play ball with the person the president wanted in the register job. But Senator Blunt quickly pointed out that that was not true, in fact, that, you know, I don't know how any of those missteps are actually going to affect the outcome of this bill or whether it gets out of committee. And I doubt they will. From what I watched, it seemed like the committee absorbed the overall arguments on both sides fairly eagerly, and that, you know, these small missteps probably aren't going to factor in either way.
When Copyright Clearance Centers Beyond the Book returns, Andrew Albanese explains why partisanship over copyright isn't blue or red. It's the color of purple. I'm Christopher Keneally with Copyright Clearance Centers Beyond the Book.
Publishers Weekly Radio has the very best in book talk directly from New York City, the heart of the book publishing world.
I'm Mark Rotella, senior editor at Publishers Weekly.
And I'm Rose Fox. I'm a senior reviews editor at Publishers Weekly.
Join us every Friday for a full hour of exciting author interviews, best-selling books, and expert reports on the nuts and bolts of publishing.
Every week, we make sure that you have the inside story of your favorite story. Take a listen at publishersweekly.com/pwradio.
I'm Christopher Keneally for CCC's Beyond the Book. It's Friday, October 5th, 2018, and Andrew Albanese of Publishers Weekly joins me, as he does every Friday, with news and insights on the world of publishing and reading. So before the break, Andrew, you were recounting this hearing in the Senate of S-1010, that's the Register of Copyright Selection and Accountability Act of 2017. And as the name implies, the bill was introduced over a year ago. So why now, after 15 months, why is this bill moving? Has anything changed?
That's a good question. And I wondered that myself. And I think there's a few reasons. And being one who follows things on Capitol Hill, it's obvious to me that last week we saw Congress move on not one, but two copyright bills, right? We spoke briefly about the Music Modernization Act, but Congress also moved the Marrakesh Treaty, which is a copyright exception to aid the print disabled. You know, these are both pretty big news. And my feeling is that all these copyright bills, they're sort of bound up together. You know, that's kind of the way lawmakers work. You know, not that they hold other bills hostage necessarily, but that taking all these bills together and saying, well, if we're going to move X, I want you to take up Y, it's just the nature of politics. So my guess is that when the Music Modernization Act was reconciled, it sort of broke the dam. And I'll note, too, that I believe the CASE Act is also getting a hearing this week. You know, our listeners may recall the CASE Act. That's the Copyright Small Claims Court proposal. We talked about it this year. It came up at Book Expo. And another reason I think things are starting to heat up is that this Congress is ending. After the midterms, we'll have a lot of new members elected to Congress. And when they gavel out this Congress, all these bills not signed into law are basically done. And I think that's especially important when it comes to copyright, because you'll remember that Judiciary Chairman Bob Goodlatte from Virginia, along with Maria Palante, who's now at AAP, oversaw a series of hearings on copyright reform, which so far has led only to this one bill about the Register of Copyrights. Well, Goodlatte is gone after this term, and he is leaving Congress entirely. And right now, Goodlatte seems more concerned with, you know, getting a wall built. It's one of his issues, immigration, and investigating bias at the CIA. But make no mistake, copyright was his big thing on judiciary for a big part of his tenure. He did this huge review, after all. There was this roadshow with hearings around the country, and now he's just months from seeing that all go away without putting any points on the board.
Well, as I noted before, that might not disappoint Andrew Albanese. You are not a fan, at least, of this Register of Copyrights bill. Tell us again why, and maybe you can tell us if your views have softened after all.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a bad bill, and I think it's coming at the worst possible moment. And again, I should say this is my personal opinion. It's not necessarily the view of my esteemed employer, Publishers Weekly. But, you know, worst possible moment, I say, because not only because of who the president is right now, you know, he's a super litigious guy who thinks there are libel laws that need to be tightened up. He sends cease and desist letters to publishers and calls journalists enemy of the people. I'm not sure that's the guy we want in charge of our copyright system. He's also had a revolving door in his administration. I think by any measure, we can say that, you know, he's promised us the best people and we haven't necessarily gotten the best people. And also, we're just in this period of hyper-politicization. And I don't think anyone can really say that politicizing the Register of Copyrights is a great idea, at least right now, at this point in time. You know, I'm sorry. It's just not. And it's not necessary. I think everyone in this debate agrees that the Copyright Office needs resources. It needs an overhaul. But why put the cart in front of the horse here? I've never understood that. You know, one thing that came out of the hearing on Wednesday is that everyone is pleased with the work that Karen Temple Claggett is doing in the job on an interim basis. And here's the thing, too. If Congress wants to move the Copyright Office from the Library of Congress and upgrade it and make changes to it, then we should do that. No one disputes that that is within Congress's purview. And there was actually a bill that was introduced in 2017, I believe, as well, that would make that happen. But just moving the Register of Copyright without overhauling the entire office, to me, seems senseless and potentially harmful. So I say let's debate that bill. Let's debate the bill that would create a new Register of Copyrights office, or excuse me, a new Copyright Office, wherever they want to put it. Let's do the whole job. Let's just not do this half measure. But here's why I think, to me, it really stands out as such a bad bill, especially now, because it's just so blatantly partisan. I mean, all of this bill's supporters are content industry lobbyists, the content industries, basically. And this is clearly rooted in anger and fear, probably more, following Maria Polante's dismissal as Register of Copyrights. But I think that's a bad place to make law from. And when I say partisan, I don't mean red and blue, because copyright doesn't fall along party lines. But between the public and the tech industry on one side of the debate and content industries and authors and creators on the other. And why the timing is so bad is that after the compromise we saw in the Music Modernization Act, to follow this up with just a blatantly partisan bill like this, to me, it puts us right back where we were before, which is dug in and a copyright stalemate with clearly drawn lines on two sides of the debate where everyone ends up suffering because nothing gets done. Creators, publishers, the public, everyone suffers. And you know, right now, we just saw two good things happen in Congress, right? We saw compromise on a music bill, which updated music for the digital age, and on Marrakesh Treaty, which was a copyright exception to help people with print disabilities get access to works. Can't we not build on that?
Well, it's a great question. And Andrew, you're off to the Frankfurt Book Fair. Maybe you can talk to some of the Europeans over there and find out how they did it, how they got to their new copyright reform legislation. That's one of your assignments. You've got many, I'm sure. Andrew Albanese, thanks for joining us this week on Beyond the Book. And we will talk to you next week from the Frankfurt Book Fair.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, builders of unique solutions that connect content and rights in contextually relevant ways through software and professional services. CCC helps people navigate vast amounts of data to discover actionable insights, enabling them to innovate and make informed decisions. Beyond the Book co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening, and join us again soon on Beyond the Book.